الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر كلوا مما رزقكم الله حلالا طيبا وفي شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله All praise, all glory, complete submission is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his noble and beautiful family and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this blessed and noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah. And may our attendance today here become a means for our guidance, for our success, for our salvation. And may we be raised like this on the day of Qiyamah and be reunited in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la, insha'Allahu al-Aziz, Allahumma, Ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, we began a discussion on understanding the reality of the dunya. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ And we learned how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave a very beautiful analogy on understanding the reality of dunya, which is a mere drop, a drop from the oceans of eternity. And how we spend our entire life, our health and our wealth in pursuing that one drop, and we overlook the eternity, the ocean that is awaiting for us in the hereafter. Today, insha'Allah al-Aziz, we will continue to understand how to live in the dunya. Because previously was, what is the dunya and what is the akhirah? Now, how do we live in the dunya? And what is the best method of living in the dunya, or the prescribed method given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For that, we need to have a simple introduction. When we go into any particular venture, any particular business, we always look at various things. First thing is, what are the startup costs? How much will it cost? How much seed money do we need for this particular thing? How many partners will there be? Active partners, silent partners? How many shares? What are the shares? What is the value of the share? How much investment will we need to do in this particular venture? And most importantly, what will be the profits? Whether there will be any profits or not after this investment. Similarly, when we apply for a job, one of the first things that we look for is the salary. How much are we going to get paid? Whether it is rupees, whether it is pounds or anything else, we look at the salary, then we look at the benefits of that job, and we look at also the holidays, whether we'll get 28 days or whether we'll get 20, etc. But the question that we fail to ask ourselves, whether in a business venture or whether in our private affairs and looking for a job, is do we ask ourselves, is this investment halal? Is this investment halal or not? And similarly, is this job that I'm applying for halal or not? We just look at the money. We just look at the benefits. We just look at the maqam and the position, rather than ask ourselves the first thing, will this bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will this job and this investment take us further and further away from Allah and throw us deeper and deeper into the dunya? So our children, our youngsters, the newer generation, this is a very core question that they need to really ask themselves before applying anywhere, whether that job is halal or haram. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari has mentioned, al-halalu bayyin, that halal is absolutely crystal clear. There is no iota of a doubt. It is clear, it is transparent, it is in the green. You will know exactly what is halal because your heart and your soul will be content, and you know that you can stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you have earned halal. You are working in a halal. Well, haram ubayyin, and haram is also absolutely clear. You know what is the red and you know what is the green. You know how to stay within the green. You know the things that take you towards the red. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam also mentioned that what is between them, the doubtful things, the things that give you or cause you any doubt, i.e. the grey area, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, stay away from the grey area. Because the grey area will inevitably lead you only further away from the green, take you closer and closer to the red. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam gave a simple example that a shepherd who is grazing his sheep, who is grazing his flock, he knows where his boundary is. And if he allows his sheep to go closer to the boundary of the person, then they will inevitably end up picking up something or another and then inevitably go into the other field as well. So when you allow the sheep to go to the grey area, then inevitably it ends up going into the red area. So in our lifetime as well, the jobs that we apply for explicitly and immediately, we know whether this is halal or not. We know what the situation of banking is. We know what the situation of riba is. We know what the situation of alcohol is. We know what the situation of lottery and gambling. All of these things are absolutely clear. When we start looking at technicalities and look at loopholes and this and that, then we know that we are going into the grey area, which is inevitably only going to lead us towards the red. So we need to make sure that anything that we do and everything that we earn in this dunya is only and purely halal, because that halal will take you to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the haram will take you towards the dunya and your own destruction in the hereafter. So the era, the world, the society that we live in currently, what is the one thing that dominates every single thing? Which is greed, the desire, the need, the want to have more. To have more wealth, to have more gold, to have more power, to have more bitcoins, to have more of every single thing. It is greed that dominates our entire lives. People, especially the youngsters now, in this day and age, because when our elders worked, they worked day and night. They worked double shifts. They did not have any breaks, but they earned halal. But our kids now, they want the quick way, the fast way to make quick bucks and quick money. So people, the youngsters, i.e. now, they don't really care how they earn as long as they can earn. We used to take home £500 a week, and our children are taking home £500 a night for a few hours of work. You have to question yourselves and them, where are they getting this money from? How are they earning this particular money? And the reason and the answer is because we are cheating ourselves and cheating other people. We are stealing, we are lying, we are taking bribes, we are selling illegal products, whether that is marijuana, whether that is weed, or whether that is something else. We are selling those things that damage and harm us as individuals and also harm the society and the world that we live in. We unashamedly, we deal with interest. We are giving interest, we are taking interest. We are buying and we are selling alcohol and saying, oh no, it's fine, we're living in a non-Muslim country. We're dealing with non-Muslims. We can sell alcohol. No, ask yourself the simple question. Limanil mulkul yawm? Who has all ownership of the entire dunya? Allah Ta'ala didn't say, I'm only the Lord of Pakistan and Arabia and the Middle East. No, He is the Lord of all of the worlds. Entire world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. So wherever you go, the rules of Allah apply to you. It doesn't matter which country you are in. So when Allah has said alcohol is haram, it is haram. There is no ifs and buts. Allah Ta'ala has said interest is haram. There's no ifs and buts about interest. There's no ifs and buts about gambling or about all of these technicalities. No. Don't look towards making a fast buck, fast money. Don't look towards all of these haram incomes. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us, يَأْتِيَ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. He's talking about the time that we are living in now, not 1400 years old, this time and the future. يَأْتِيَ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. A time will come where no one, where people will not care how they earn their livelihood, how they earn the income, what type of work that they do, what type of field or industry that they go in, all they care about is money, money, money. They will not care whether they earn that money in the halal way, in a legal way, and they will not care whether that money comes to them in the haram way, in an illegal manner. They won't care. All they care about is money. And we are also responsible for this as well, that when your children are bringing wealth into your home, they're bringing food into your home, your children, you have a duty of care to ask, beta, my beti, where are you earning this from? How are you earning so much? Where is this money coming from? What job are you doing? What taxes are you paying? What are you declaring? What type of product are you dealing in? Where is this money coming from? But no, we also stay quiet and say, Thika, look at how successful our children are, how successful we are. But this is a dire warning from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and also from Allah azza wa jal, that if we do not desist, if we do not stop, then we are causing our own destruction. Our destruction in the dunya, and more importantly, our destruction and our annihilation in the hereafter. We will be at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, pick up your weapon and come to war with me. Where will you go? How will you fight? Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Whereas all your life you were taking that interest, you were gambling, you were lying, you were cheating, you were deceiving, you were doing fraud, you were buying and selling alcohol, you were doing all of that. Now is the time for you to showcase. Where will you go? How will you succeed? How will you win? So if you want to live in the dunya, you need to live very, very carefully. You need to live in the green. You need to be absolutely transparent about your income and about the type of job that you do. Any income whatsoever, which is earned by theft, which is earned via fraud, which is earned via not declaring something, omitting something, which is earned via bribery, cheating, deceiving, taking coupons and changing the dates, or using them multiple times even though you're only supposed to use it once, declaring expenses that you're not entitled to. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Usurpation of inheritance, taking somebody else's inheritance, your sisters or your family members saying, oh no, they don't need it, I will take care of it. Any form of usurpation of inheritance, falsifying documents, giving false testimony and witnessing in the courts or anywhere else so that you can get more wealth, not declaring things to the HMRC or anywhere else that you work, and the lawyers, they representing people that they know are criminals, but it's fine because I'm really good at my job. I will find them a loophole to win, and the money that they earn through those types of clients, and the accountants know that they are going all around all of these things, hiding in the Cayman Islands and here and there just to save more money for them, and then taking their pay from that same money as well. Or the bankers, all of these people, when they earn in this particular way, know that that money will never benefit them. Any income which is generated via any haram action is explicitly haram. It will never benefit you in the dunya, and more importantly, it will never benefit you in the hereafter. All forms of lottery, all forms of drugs, buying and selling, all forms of alcohol, whether it is 1%. You know, some people say, oh, it doesn't intoxicate, it's only 1%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran doesn't say, oh, if it's 1%, then it's fine. Or it's 0.5%. No. Alcohol, mutlaqan, is haram. That's it. We don't go anywhere near it. We don't buy it. We don't sell it. We don't distribute it. Any form of interest. We don't take it. We don't give it. It is all haram. But if we actively, if we deliberately, or if we just allow, and by our emissions, to allow all of this wealth, this type of wealth, to enter within our homes, then we are the ones who have actually unleashed weapons of mass destruction within our own lives, within our own homes. There is no one else to blame apart from ourselves. It's not just a wild goose chase like the Americans did in Iraq or anywhere else. This is the reality that you are destroying your own home, your own children, your own generation, because haram leads to the destruction of four things in the dunya, and it will lead to the destruction, one more destruction, which is your annihilation in the hereafter. So today, inshallah, very quickly, we'll talk about those four things, how any iota, any small aspect of haram, when it enters into your wealth, it will destroy these four things. And we need to be very, very careful of where we earn and how we earn and how we spend. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam teaches us that first, when you take haram, when you buy or sell haram or consume haram, the first thing that it will affect, it is your heart. It will cause the destruction of your heart. In other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentioned that if your heart is pure, then everything else within your body will also be sound and pure. But if your heart is corrupt, how can it be corrupted? Because of the haram income, because of what you consume and the energy that you consume through the haram, or the sins that you are doing by lying, by deceiving, by cheating, by taking interest, by alcohol, by gambling, by all of these things. These are all major sins. And every time you commit a sin, a black dot will appear unto your heart, and it will encompass your entire heart. It will infiltrate your heart. It will corrupt your heart. It will destroy your heart. The haram will block out all of the things that you hear, all of the jumu'ahs. You can come again and again. You can come to all of the lectures, all of the seminars. You can go to all of the great places. You can go to Mecca and Medina. You can pray your salah. But if you're consuming constant haram, then it will block all of the good effects on your entire body, on your soul. This is what haram does to your heart. It will not allow you to benefit from anything. You will see people like this around you in our society, and they just carry on like it's fine what they're doing, but what they are doing is actually destroying their own heart. The second thing that it does, it causes the destruction of the dua. And the dua is our shield. It is the most powerful weapon that we have as Muslims, that we deploy and we call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this very thing is destroyed by the income of haram in any way or form that we consume. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gives us an example that a traveling person who is in dire need, and he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that his underarms are showing, and he is calling and crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these are four things. When you do any of these four things, your dua is accepted. Traveling and then being in dire situation, then raising your hands and calling on only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these four things, in spite of these four things, there will be no response, no acknowledgement, nothing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, because his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, his existence, his nourishment is all from haram. So how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept any dua that comes out of his mouth? And this is our current situation, and we are going, especially the younger generation, they don't care whether they declare things or not. They don't care if they're selling alcohol, they don't care if they're selling weed, they're selling laughing gas or anything else. As long as it makes them money and quick money, they're fine with that. But these same people, when they are calling on to Allah Azza wa Jal, they will find no response. They will find no sanctuary. They will find no protection. They will find no ease. So it destroys your heart. And more importantly, it destroys your most powerful weapon, which is a dua, the ability to call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you feel if your parents are in front of you and they ignore you? You are talking to them, you are desperate, you want something for them to survive, but your parents, they look the other way. How would you feel? Your parents can hear you, but they do not respond to what you are saying. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks away from you. He detests you as who you are. And He does not respond to any of your call. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. Because our rizq is haram. Our sustenance is haram. Our livelihood is haram. And the third thing that it causes, which is the destruction of sadaqah. And sadaqah is a very, very important thing, because sadaqah removes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqah also protects the person from calamities, from distress, and from situations. What happens when something wrong goes on in our life? What do our parents always say? Sadaqah diyo, give sadaqah, give something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is a shield, it protects you. But when you earn haram, and you give as much as you want sadaqah in the way of Allah azza wa jal, it will never be accepted. Inna Allah tayyib. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most pure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept anything except that it is also pure. It comes from a pure source. That your earning has to be halal. The food that you purchase has to be halal. You have to eat in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you call unto Allah azza wa jal, that dua will be accepted. Then when you give sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be accepted. Otherwise, it will never be accepted. What does the shaitan do to people who earn haram? They say, doesn't matter, carry on earning, go build a masjid, go make a, you know, dig a well, go sponsor an orphan, give sadaqah, help this widow, help this, do this, do this, do that, carry on with your haram, but also balance it by giving a little bit of sadaqah. No, this does not work. This does not work. Sufyan al-Thawri, may Allah be pleased with him, mentions that whoever spends haram wealth in haram avenues is like a person who washes dirty clothes with urine. No matter how much you wash with urine, your clothes will never be clean. No matter how much sadaqah you give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, your sadaqah will never be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your dua will never be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart will become more and more hardened, and nothing will penetrate your heart. Not in the verses of the Quran, nothing will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth biggest destruction that can occur, will occur as a result of haram income, haram livelihood, is a destruction of barakah. Everything that we have, your health, your afiyah, your life, your sustenance, everything is from the barakah, from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the blessings are removed from something, you will not enjoy anything that you have in your life. When the blessings of health are taken away, the blessing of taste is taken away, the blessing of hearing or sight, all of these blessings, when they are taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of health and tranquility, the peace and safety within your home, the ease and the comfort and the stretching of your finances, the knowledge that you have, all of these things will no longer benefit you. They will cease to benefit you. Why do we see that our children now, they are shouting and screaming, there's no respect within our home, because we have been feeding them haram since the day they were born. And we continuously pump them with haram. We all try to keep away from GM products, try to keep away from all of these other things because they are harmful to the body. Eat natural, eat organic. Why do you never ask yourself, only and only consume halal and give halal to your children? When you see the children and their behavior changing, this is because of what you have been feeding them. It is a direct consequence of those things. So we need to really ask ourselves that if you see that your heart is hard, if you see that your du'as are not being accepted, if you see that your sadaqah is not benefiting you, if you see that the barakah has been taken away from your life, then ask yourself the most important question: where is your income coming from? What type of income do you have? How do you declare that? How are you living? What are you eating? What are you providing yourself and your family with? All of these are the consequences of haram income, and the most inevitable one that will occur in the hereafter. These are the four consequences of the destruction in the dunya, then there will be the destruction in the hereafter. All of these four lead towards the destruction in the hereafter, which is towards the fire of Jahannam, towards the pitfalls of Jahannam. And I'll give you a simple example to understand. You might think, oh, it's okay, I give so much taxes anyway, it doesn't matter if I don't declare this. I do this anyway, it doesn't matter if I took an extra 15 minutes. It doesn't matter if I lied a little bit and, sold something. No, all of these, the smallest of things matter. At the Battle of Khaybar, some companions came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that such and such companion is a shaheed. He fought and he died in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied. He said, no, that companion is not a shaheed. He's rather in the fire of hell. All of the Sahaba ikram were completely astounded. How is it, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that this person, the one that you call a shaheed, the one that you call a sahabi, he took a garment. What is a garment? It's a piece of cloth, simple piece of cloth. Go to Primark, go to any shop. What is a garment? £5, £10? At most? What is a simple garment, unstitched garment, or even stitched garment? He took a single garment from the booty of Khaybar before it was distributed, because it was inevitably going to be distributed anyway to all of the Muslims. But he took it when? Before it was his right. Before it was supposed to be distributed, he took it, i.e. he stole it. So even though you think he's a shaheed, no, he will be in the fire of hell because of that one action. All his life he's been with the Prophet ﷺ. He's been praying with the Prophet ﷺ. He went to jihad with the Prophet ﷺ. He took martyrdom, supposed martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of that one haram act, where is he? He's in the fire of hell. So other Sahaba ikram, they were completely horrified by this. And one man came running to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He said, I took these two shoelaces. What is a shoelace? Nothing. Insignificant. He said, I took one or two shoelaces. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, these one or two shoelaces are from the fire of hell. This is what it is for you. Look at how the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is showing that just one individual act can lead you to the fire of hell. One shoelace can be a cause for you to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Now ask yourselves and your children, what I've been doing for the last 20, 30 years, or 40, 50 years of our lives. Not declaring to the government in Pakistan, not declaring to the government here in the UK, doing things cash in hand under the table, or lying or deceiving or selling dishonestly, or cheating in weights, or doing so many other things just to lie and cheat, to get haram income, to get more income. This is what we are doing, and we are causing our own destruction of the heart, destruction of our sadaqah, destruction of everything that is about us, about our barakah, and we are causing our own annihilation and destruction in the hereafter. This is what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said. So we need to be extremely careful on how we earn, because that is the source of everything else. Your earning, your income dictates how you pray, whether that prayer will be accepted. It dictates your sadaqah. Everything comes from that one source. And if that source is haram, it is tainted, then everything else will be tainted and be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next time you think of investing, the next time you look towards getting a job, don't look at the salary or the benefits or the bonus. Ask yourselves, is this clearly halal or not? Is this beneficial or not? Is this in the green or not? 100%. Will this take me closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, to Jannah? Or will this only take me closer and closer towards my destruction in the dunya and my annihilation and destruction in the hereafter? If it is not explicitly halal, if you have any doubt, walk away. Why 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your dunya is not worth an eternity in the fire of hell, is not worth an eternity of punishment in the hereafter. We talked about that one droplet. The Prophet ﷺ put his index finger in the cup and he said, this one droplet is your entire life, your health, your wealth, your entire youth. Everything is in that one droplet, but the ocean is the hereafter that is waiting for you. So walk away from any haram temptation, from any gambling, from any alcohol, from any interest, from any lying or deceiving or omitting, or any job that makes you go towards the red, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have any doubt that it is not halal, leave it, walk away from it, just the way the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had recommended and he's told us. So when we think about easy turnovers and quick return, invest £50, you'll get £500 by the end of the week, do this job, always ask yourselves, is it halal or is it not? You can never ever succeed by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, you can never fail when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always obey Allah azza wa jal and know that you will succeed in your deen and your dunya, in your qabr and in your akhirah. Remember that whoever we are, no matter what job we have, our rizq is fixed, appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time that we are born. You cannot earn a penny more or a penny less. Nobody in the entire world can take away your rizq. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the world in the heavens is your rizq. Who can reach the heavens? Who can take away your rizq? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given your rizq, and He is the one who gives it to you. Nobody can take your rizq away from you, but it's up to us whether we earn that rizq through the halal way or through the haram way. Then our deen and our dunya can be successful if it is through halal way. If it is haram in any way, any bribes, any lying, any deceiving, any gambling, any lottery, any interest, any alcohol, any interest, then know that that rizq will never benefit you and you will only go towards your own destruction. Your rizq is fixed, but it is up to you to earn 20,000 a year via the halal way or 20,000 through the haram way. You will not get a penny more or a penny less. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught us this beautiful dua. Allahumma kfini bi halalik an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. But oh Allah, make me content and make me satisfied with halal provisions. Thoda hoye, sutra hoye, changa hoye, it's halal, it doesn't matter whether it's a lot. You don't need lots of property or lots of things. Just make sure that your rizq is halal and keep you away from haram, and you will receive the bounty and the enrichment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your halal rizq. You will never receive barakah from the haram rizq. You will never succeed. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to first and foremost understand what is the dunya, and then from today understand how to live within the dunya, this limited life that we have. Do not cause your own destruction by earning haram. Only earn halal, doesn't matter how less it may be, but you will know that you will be satisfied and you'll be content in your dunya, in your qabr, and also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمْ